Just like to invite Mary to come up, and she's going to take us deeper, deeper into the Word of God. So, yeah, I'll just pray for you, Mary. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your presence amongst us this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you touch each and every one of us in amazing and unique ways. So, Father, I just thank you for the word that's about to go forth, Father. Your word says it never returns void, Father, but it accomplishes everything that you sent it forth to do. So we stand in faith, Lord. We just say, open hearts, open ears, open us up, Lord, to just receive your truth and your love, Father, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Well, guess what? My sister finally got here. Yay! We only waited a month for that to happen. So anyway, praise God. And I've got some more good news. My son that we've been praying for so long got baptized last night. And that has been a long time coming too. That has been such a tremendous experience and such a tremendous journey. And that leads me right into what I wanted to talk about today, is that word journey. I've always hated that word. It always sounded so trite and cliched to me. You know, journey. What does that mean? What does journey mean? Especially when you're talking about spiritual things. Well, what does that mean? I want to go to Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. We're going along, we're just trucking right along, and all of a sudden this voice says, psh, come back here, come back here. It's behind, the voice is, the Lord is behind you, saying, come here, this is the way you should go. You know, so sometimes we get to running out ahead of God, and we don't know where he wants to take us, so we're just out there doing our thing. And all of a sudden he says, come back here, this is where I want you to go. Like with my son. I fought so hard in the spirit for him not to have to lose his leg. But when I realized that the Lord was much more interested in saving his soul than in saving his leg, is when things really started to happen for him in the spirit. When I relinquished what I wanted and I allowed God to do what he wanted, is when I feel like that Patrick started really making some headway. This word journey, and that's what he's been on. He's been on a tremendous journey. That means there's several different things here. The word itself comes from a primary root word that means to walk along, to be on the move, to go reconnoiter, and to bring back the tail, to lead about, to step off as to mark your territory. It also means to follow, as in a method of operation, like a recipe. Now, just like with a recipe, if you put the ingredients in the wrong frame or the wrong timing, or you got the oven wrong, or you got the wrong size pan, if you put that recipe to cook, it's not going to come out looking like the photo or what you expected. So when God sends you on a journey, you got to follow the recipe. The word journey most usually means leaving one place, traveling, and coming to a destination that was not where you started out from. It's someplace different. And it also means the method that you use to get there. Now, there's a lot of stories in the Bible about people who are on journeys. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and a lot of the other patriarchs went on long journeys from the land and the people of their birthplaces to where God wanted them to be. Jonah, Jeremiah, the entire nation of Israel in the various dispersions that happened throughout history. They started out here and they wound up over there. Sometimes they didn't want to be over there, but that's where they wound up anyway. Most of the time, these journeys were also times of spiritual change. Not only did God uproot them from their comfort zones physically, but he also demanded a shift or a journey in their spiritual understanding as well. Look at the Exodus from Egypt. It took them 40 years, 40 years to get from where they were going to where they finally wound up. 40 years. Can you imagine a car trip with your kids lasting for 40 years? 40 years of, are we there yet? How much longer till we get there? When are we going to get there? Are we ever going to get there? Especially if your sat-nav is playing up and you go around the same roundabout 13 or 14 times trying to find the place and misreading the signs because you didn't hear the directions clearly in the first place. On the first trip that Linda and Larry made over here, we were going off to Hever Castle. And we kind of got like misplaced. We weren't really lost. We were just merely bewildered for a while. And we saw this young guy riding by on a bicycle. So we decided to stop in and ask him, well, how do you get there from here? And so he's giving us these directions. And he says, now you go down this road a few more miles till you come to the T-junction, and you're going to look for Skababur Drive. And you turn left and go down that road. So we take off and we go down that road, and it was getting kind of dark. And all of a sudden, here looms the T-road, and there's the road sign in front of us. And we were telling each other, Skababur Drive, Skababur Road. That's what we want, Skababur Road. So when we get down there and the lights shine on the sign, it doesn't say Skababur at all. It says Scab Harbor. So that just shows you, you know, that sometimes we need to really understand what the plan is. We need to get a real clear understanding of the directions that we're being given, where we're going, how to get there, and how to read and understand the road signs along the way. Otherwise, we'll just end up going around the same roundabout, the same mountain, or the same problem for 40 years. 40 years, just like the Hebrews did in Exodus. How many times have you all asked God for his blessing that's described in Deuteronomy 28? Now I want to read this because this is really some good stuff here. And these are the blessings that we want. Blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed will be your basket and your store. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. They'll come up against you one way, but they'll flee from you seven different ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand to, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. The Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn to thee, if you shall keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord will open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above only, and you will not be beneath, if you hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And you will not go aside from any of these words, which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or go after other gods to serve them. In those first 14 verses, there are five times in 14 verses, where it says, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Five times. Then all these blessings can come on you. So that means that, man, we better be understanding and hearing and knowing what the voice of God is. In James 4:3, it says, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. And back to Isaiah 30. And your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way that I want you to go. So we see that blessing comes from being in the plan. Not running ahead so that God has to call us back or to pull us back or yank our chain and say, come here, what do you think you're doing? Where do you think you're going? I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. This is the way we're going to go. Not that way. Not your way, but my way. When we're consuming things upon our lusts, we're not going to get the blessing either. The blessings come to be a blessing. Blessings come not only so that we can be blessed, but blessings come so that we can be a blessing to other people. The anointing is all about other people. If you go look at Isaiah 61, you'll see that everything that comes in the anointing comes for other people. You get blessed while you're receiving it, but when you give it out is when it's actually the most effective. You know, we're such a generation of instant potatoes and microwave meals and immediate gratification. But like that one TV ad that's on that just, I get so tickled at it. That instant loan company, you know, where the money is easy to get to, but the rate of interest is like 4,000% a year. Please. You know, easy come, but man, when it gets time to pay it back, you know, payday always comes. It may not be on Friday, but payday always comes. And you have to pay that back. And you have to pay it back with interest. And 4,000% is pretty hefty. It's an instant fix. It's a patch job. But in the long run, it's much more expensive to do it that way than if you'd done it right in the first place and didn't need that loan. Sometimes we don't take the time to really search out the heart of God in our situation. We want the leeks and the garlic and the onions of our former existence because it's familiar. It panders to our flesh, and we'll think about the rest of the problem tomorrow. We'll be like Scarlett O'Hara and Gone with the Wind. Oh, I'll think about that tomorrow. Tomorrow always comes, too. The plan of God isn't about instant potatoes or instant gratification or even instant ministry. It's about relationship with Him. The plan of God is learning to recognize His voice. It's about Him leading us. It's about Him filling our mouth with good things, things that we can give out to others in turn. The plan of God is actually to find Him. You want the blessings? Then get in the plan. You want the Holy Spirit to use you? Then get in the plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says that there is a plan for us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. But right after that, again, it says, this is what the plan is. Then you will call upon me and you will pray unto me and I will hearken to you. You will seek me and find me and I will turn away your captivity and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you and will bring you again to the place from which you were carried away. Back to the straight path, back to the place of ministry, back to the place of blessing. He Himself is the blessing. Now, I want you to get that. He Himself is the blessing. He is the plan. The relationship that we have with Him is the plan. If you want to get all the blessings in Deuteronomy, then get in the plan. Get in the plan. Now, wait a minute. What was that other thing that was in there? I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have driven you. Was the dry and desolate place of wandering in the desert for 40 years in God's plan? Was the captivity in Babylon in God's plan? Were they supposed to spend another 70 years in captivity before they could call upon God? We're just like the little kids in the back of the car on the long road trip, crying, are we there yet? Are we there yet, Mommy? Are we there yet? We find a bookstore yet, Mary? Where are we going to eat at, Mommy? How much further do we have to journey in order to get there? Where is that place anyway? Is it some far-off place over there of perfection? Something that we'll never be able to attain? Is the only place where we can call upon Him over there? Or over there? Someplace over the river or someplace beyond that mountain? Someplace at the end of the journey? When we aren't sinning anymore? When we've got all the answers figured out? Is that the place where we're supposed to be? How about this? Right where you are. That's the place you're supposed to be. Right here, right now. This is the place where you start calling on the Lord. This is the place where you start praying to the Lord. This is the place you start seeking the Lord, and this is where you will find Him. Now. This is the thing that Jesus kept preaching in most of His public ministry. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not far away. It's not someplace that you have to travel for thousands of miles in 40 years to get to. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's within. The plan of God is for you to seek Him while He can be found. Let's don't be like Felix over in the Acts 24, waiting for a convenient season. The season is always now. You know, I talk to a lot of people on the internet all over the world, people in Australia, New Zealand, and the Philippines, and where else? Kenya, here in England, the U.S., all over the place. And they're all in different time zones. And this is so amazing to me. No matter what time it is where they are, it's always now. It's always now. Whenever you're awake, it's now. Now is the season. Now is the time when you really want to seek the Lord. Are we there yet? Have we reached perfection? No. And how can we get there if we keep getting sidetracked by stuff that's not in the plan? How can we reach our full potential as spiritual giants if we keep playing with the petty stuff? I've got a clip that I want you to see. And I want you to see if you recognize yourself in there anywhere.
I will sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
I surrender some. I surrender some. Jesus, I will give you little. I surrender.
I stand amazed at my hairdo, my stylist outdid herself. I lift my hands and see my nails. They match my eyes, oh, so well.
Who praises this song? Sing with me. Man, I love to sing.
Oh, yes.
Just to sing this song.
Savior, I don't need a savior. I'm busy living my life. Busy living my life.
Christmas, go to church on Christmas.
So
just glow.
Go through the motion.
Hallelujah. Lift up your hands.
Emotion, I exalt me, I exalt me, I exalt me, only me.
Praise me. Go ahead, give them an applause. They'll shut up, all right?
How many times have you caught yourself doing things like that? I have. I know I have. I know I have. And I don't believe that I'm totally unique in the universe. That the name of that clip is Wrong Worship. It's the wrong emphasis. As I like to say, they've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. It's the wrong voice. It's the wrong direction. It's wrong signposts. It's wrong understanding. It's the right tune, but it's the wrong words. And these are some of the reasons that we aren't there yet. If you see God's plan, but you can't get there, then check out your worship time. Is it filled with me, 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 mine, mine, me, me, mine, mine, me, 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 mine, 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 me, me, mine, mine, me? Or is it filled with Him? Are you telling God all about you, your problems, your wants, your desires, your heartaches, your joys, like He doesn't know anything about it already? Then you get to a place where you get tired of talking about you, and you say, and you want to hear from God. Then you say to the Lord, now tell me, Lord, what do you think about me? I want to hear a word from you, Lord. I want to know what my future holds. I want to know if I'm going to get a good job. You know, that's what we do. Check out the things that you're emphasizing in your life. Are they godly things or not? I once heard someone say, and I think it was Dave Jones here a few weeks ago, say that anything that you have to check with before you spend time with God is an idol. Prayer meeting? Oh, what night was that again? Oh, well, I can't come. That's the night football's on. Healing on the streets? Oh, no. Saturday morning is when I have a lion and I have breakfast in bed. Bible reading? Oh, I don't understand the Bible. And besides, I have a couple of other spiritual books that I'm reading right now, so I'm okay. Petty stuff. Just petty stuff. Check out the voice that you're listening to. Is it the voice of God or is it the voice of the flesh? I went to Weight Watchers, obviously a long time ago. And a lady came in one night and she had gained 5 pounds, that's almost half stone, in 1 week. She said she opened up the cupboard and a bag of potato chips fell down on her head, and she just knew that was God telling her that she wasn't eating enough, so she went on an eating binge. So check out the voice that you're listening to. Check out if you're heading in the right direction, for instance, with your bills. Are you wasting money on silly things that you don't need? And then you go complaining to the Lord that there's not enough money to pay the gas bill or the rent or the car payment. Check out where your money is where your mouth is. Check out the signposts along the way. If you want peace in your life, are you missing it because you failed to heed the warning sign that said, danger, argument, straight ahead? Or misread the sign that said, heaven's ahead, and thought it said, leaven the bread, and you turned left instead of turning right. Check out the signposts. Check out whether or not you've understood the instructions. There were 500 disciples who saw Jesus ascend into heaven and heard him say, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. But there were only 120 people in that upper room when the Holy Spirit did come. Where were the rest of them? Did they not understand the direction? Did they not hear the instruction? Where were they? So make sure that you're understanding the instruction and the directions. Check out if you're in one accord and at peace with people. Or are you like the kids in the back seat fussing, "Daddy, he's looking at me. Mama, make her stop touching me. She's in my space." I hear some mothers and daddies in here. And you hear, or you even say, "Don't make me stop this car to have to deal with you." So several years ago, there was a series of billboards in St. Louis where I lived. And one of them, and that was God talking to his children. And one of them says, "Don't make me come down there." Because he will. Often our journey is and sometimes needs to be interrupted because we need to be disciplined. And the interruption can take a very long time if we're not willing to go around that learning curve. "I am not doing that. I'm going to do it my way." "Well, fine," the Lord says. "Just do it your way and sit there. When you get ready to go on with me, then we'll take up and we'll go on." So we need to take the chastisement that our Father brings, sort ourselves out with the help of the Holy Spirit, and get back on the journey that we were supposed to be on in the first place. Check out whether or not you're singing from the same hymn sheet as the leadership in your church. If they're leading by God's word, are you following? Or are you making up your own thing as you go along and then wonder why you don't get the same blessing that everybody else is getting? So check it out. Are you there yet? Do you get it yet? Have you understood that it's the heart, content, and intent that determines when you'll get there? Remember, Jesus said, "Repent," which means think again, think again, think again. You got a thought in your head and it's not the right one. Well, you got another think coming. Think again, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within. Think again, think again. Think what you're thinking about. What is it that occupies your mind all the time? If it's something that's not godly, then change your mind. Think again. Are we here yet? Are we there yet? Are we all in the same car, traveling to the same destination, on the same journey as everyone else? Now, is Daddy God in the driver's seat, or is self? Once we firmly place God in that position, then we can get there in better time, with fewer detours, more safely, because God's not a dangerous driver, and we are not accidents waiting to happen. We may not be there yet, but thank God we're not where we used to be. So check it out. Check out all the signposts. Check out your directions. Check out your instructions. Check out whether or not you're hearing the voice of God or whether it's the voice of self. Really check it out so that you can be on the journey that God wants you to be on and not be sidetracking around all these little and going laterally instead of moving up and down the way that God wants you to do. Okay? All right, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just thank you that you have given us clear instructions, that you have given us your voice to listen to. Father, help us to know your voice and to know the difference between you and what we want. Father, help us to find in your word your clear directions for our lives. Help us, Father, to know you as our blessing, to know you as our leader, to know you as our refuge and strength. Father, bless us with all the spiritual blessings that there are, because all of those spiritual blessings are you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. That was brilliant. And I loved what you said at the start when you said about your son. And I think that is just amazing news, because you have shared some of that journey with me and that, you know, that he's been on. And I just think it's amazing, because you guys, talk to me. And I'm hearing breakthrough. I'm hearing breakthrough, you know, as you talk to me and you tell me about what God's doing in your lives or in the lives of your loved ones. And I'm hearing it. I'm hearing that sound. And I'm very, very excited because God is doing amazing things amongst us. And, you know, it's like I said to start with, sometimes we just need to open our eyes, see it, hear it, because there is a sound that I can hear, which I'm loving. So thank you.